When you talk about provocative filmmakers, this guy has got to be included at the top of the list. His name is Morgan Spurlock. Made a name for himself a couple years ago by eating every meal at McDonald's for a month and turning it into a movie called Super Size Me. When that movie came out, I had him on the show, and we had a rather robust disagreement through most of that conversation. Last year, he started up a new show on FX called 30 Days, in which he did things like he and his then-fiancé working minimum wage for an entire month, and the story of a mom who thought that she could get her teenage daughter to stop drinking if she started drinking a lot, and a Christian man who lived with a Muslim family for a month, and on and on and on. It is a great idea for a show, and I'm happy to see that it's coming back on FX for season number 2 tomorrow night. Morgan Spurlock, welcome back to the Paul Harris Show.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
It's always a pleasure having you on here. How hard is it for you to find people?
You know, it's not as easy as, or it's not as hard as we would thought it would be when we did season one. You know, it's amazing how many people are, you know, interested in kind of putting themselves out there and exploring these topics. And these are people who are really, really impassioned about their beliefs. You know, it's not somebody who's just looking to get on TV. It's, you know, it's people who are very locked into the way they see the world.
After season one, did you have people contact you and say, here's what I believe, and I want to go on your show with somebody who believes the opposite?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people who submit ideas through the FX website, you know, for 30 days, and we love that. You know, we get a lot of great submissions, and, you know, some of them are great, some of them are not so great, but we welcome them all.
And do you and your staff end up coming up with the situations that they'll end up in, or do you get their email and go, okay, here we go?
Well, you know, sometimes we've contacted people. I know that there were a couple times we reached out to people who submitted to us through the website. A lot of the times we try and go a different direction, you know, because you never really know what anybody's kind of outlook is when they're sending you something via email. You need to sit down and talk to them.
So tomorrow night we're going to see a guy who came to this country legally and is
right.
Staunchly anti-illegal immigration, who then has to live with a family of illegals, right?
That's correct. Yeah, he's a border patrolling Minuteman who is very, you know, very set in his belief that that illegal immigration, the way the border it works right now, which, you know, basically means people can come in, you know, wherever they want illegally, is not the right thing for our country. And he, you know, goes and lives with this family of illegal Mexicans and who live here in Los Angeles, and it's a pretty eye opening episode for both parties, I think.
Now, the thing about some of your episodes is people learn a lesson. I particularly liked it with the mom who tried to drink her way into a lesson for her daughter. She ended up learning a lesson, which is her daughter can party harder than she can. But how do you get a group of people who are illegals and therefore should be living in any kind of underground community to come above ground and agree to be on camera?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that difficult to speak to them, you know, or get them convinced about the episode. You know, when we first approached this family, you know, they said, listen, we think this is an important issue. We really want to take part. We don't want to hide our faces. You know, we're proud of who we are. And, you know, they've been in the country for years now, you know, about 17 years now that they've been in the United States. They have two children who are actually born in the country. So two of their five kids are legal, are actually American citizens. So it's a very interesting mix, you know, once you get all of them together.
I'm curious, are those kids who were born here, are they old enough now to have developed their own attitude about illegal immigration?
Well, no, because I think they're still very young. You know, the ones who were born here are still, you know, under 10 years old. The one who is the most vocal is the girl that's in the show, Armita, who is a graduating senior, and, you know, wants to go to college, wants to be the first person in her family ever to graduate from university. And she is very set in her ideas that, you know, we should allow people who have come to this country illegally to stay. You know, she cites the perfect example that if a Cuban, you know, comes to the foot of America and sets foot on the sand, this person is now a legal citizen and is now allowed to stay, or at least begin the naturalization process. And so she says, why can't we as Mexicans have the same thing? And she and Frank have some fantastic debates over the course of the show.
Does it ever escalate beyond a debate into something a little more physical?
Well, I mean, Frank gets very angry, and Frank, you know, bangs his fist and yells and screams, and he gets very angry about this family and so there's some of their points of view. You know, he's someone who believes that his country is being stolen away from him, and will do anything to fight for it to make sure that it stays, you know, the way it is, and that we abide by the laws that this country established.
Have you ever had any of your participants get into a real fight?
You know, there have been times when it's gotten, you know, very heated and very angry. You know, I look at last year's episode between Dave Stacey and Shamil Haque when he was staying with the Muslim family in Dearborn, Michigan. I mean, there were some debates that got very, very heated, and you thought it would come to blows. But, you know, I think, you know, where we deal with, where these are people who are there for a certain experience, and I think even them themselves do have a line that they draw, you know, within their own boundaries.
Can you... yourself, can Morgan Spurlock be there when these things are going on, or have you now become a little bit too famous?
Well, I mean, for me, I feel like I don't want to detract from these people's experience. You know, these people who are doing their journeys, we have a field producer who's there with them. You know, I want these people to have their own personal journeys. That's what this show is about. It's about these two groups' outlook on whatever the issue may be. You know, if I'm doing my own episode, you know, my own journey, as I do in season two of 30 Days, I go to jail for 30 days to explore the U.S. prison system. You know, that is still me, and that's my journey that you're witnessing. But I try and kind of stay hands-off for a lot of that.
I'm Paul Harris, talking with Morgan Spurlock. You know him from Super Size Me and the FX original series 30 Days. Season 1, by the way, is now out on DVD, and Season 2 debuts tomorrow night on the FX television network. And in one of the episodes this season, you go to jail. Are we talking county jail, or are we talking hardcore prison here?
No, I went to a county in Henrico County, Virginia, which is where Richmond is located. And you know, it's amazing how difficult it is to shoot within, you know, even a jail or a prison. You know, most people won't allow you access.
Do you have to get an okay from all the other prisoners who are in the show?
Well, we got okays from the ones who wanted to be on camera. You know, we put wristbands on all the ones who didn't want to be on camera, and those were people that we shot around or we blurred their faces, and just, you know, we wanted to make sure and be respectful to the guys who didn't want to take part.
So, what did you learn about county jail life?
Well, for me, I think the biggest thing I learned about jail and imprisonment to begin with, because I was in there with guys who were getting ready to be sent to, you know, federal penitentiaries. These were guys who were just there before they got sent off to state or federal pens. And then, believe me, what I learned is you learn that there are people who need to be locked up. You know, jail is filled with people who should be in jail. But at the same point, it's also filled with people who, you know, have made one mistake and are now going to be punished for the next, you know, 3 to 7 to 8 years. The majority of the people that I was locked up with were drug offenders. You know, it's like, I think, 60% to 70% for, you know, for a first-time drug offense who are now going to be in there for a long time. And so for me, I think that what we're doing with the prison after being there and seeing it, you know, firsthand is that we're doing a great job of somewhat punishing people and not a very good job of rehabilitating people.
Yeah, that's part of our failed war on drugs in this country. Were those people who were in there for drugs able to get drugs in jail?
Some. I mean, it's not as accessible. I don't think you have as much access to drugs within, at least in the county jail that I was in, as you do in a federal prison system. You know, there's much more of a heavy flow of narcotics there.
Really? The harsher the jail, the easier it is to get narcotics?
That was the word that from everybody, every prisoner that I spoke to. They said there's a lot more of everything. You know, contraband. They said there's any contraband you want if they're within the actual prison system.
You know, one of the criticisms that people have of our penal system in this country is we coddle our prisoners too much. They get cable TV and they get a workout room. Did you have that?
Well, I got to tell you, the one thing that I said and when I got there was, you know, there was the lack of structure, that you really don't have to do anything. You know, like, once you wake up in the morning, you don't have to work. You don't have to go anywhere. You only go to rec one day a week. The TV's on all day long. And, you know, I'm like, well, this doesn't even really feel like punishment, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, so it's kind of like a vacation. And then so I said, you know what, I think that what needs to happen is there needs to be more structure. There needs to be some steps where people have to do things to better themselves. They have to go to classes. They have to try and do things. And they say, well, you can't make people do anything in jail. And I was like, well, why not? I thought this was jail.
Yeah.
You can't make people do anything.
So that's very interesting. Were you in a cell by yourself?
There's a great example is that when I first get to jail, you really see the overcrowding that's taking place within kind of America's penal system. When I get there the first night, the cell that I get into, there's four people in it, and I'm sleeping on the floor next to the stainless steel toilet. You know, it's a very great special thing.
I think that would count as part of the punishment right there, Morgan.
There was a lot of things that counted as punishment. You know, I spent 72 hours in solitary confinement, which... You know, I just can't imagine people who are now spending, you know, months and years, you know, in solitary where they have no interaction with anybody.
Which was worse, the first night in solitary or the first night with your head next to the prison toilet?
I think the first night next to the prison toilet.
Yeah, I would guess it would be. What else are we going to see on this season? And by the way, is this also only 6 episodes?
It's It's only 6 episodes. Yeah, I mean, we talk about doing more, but the show is really massive. I mean, it takes a long time to produce. You know, each episode we're shooting for 30 days, you know, and actually a little longer, you know, on the front and back end. So it takes us about, you know, 8 months to make the whole series, the 6 episodes that you actually see. So more than that would be able to take a long time.
So what else are we going to see this season?
So, the first episode is the immigration episode. The following week, we dive into outsourcing, which is one of my favorite episodes of the season. A guy whose job was outsourced to India goes to India to look for his job for 30 days.
To Bangalore, India?
He goes to Bangalore and actually gets a job in India.
Wow.
Yeah, one of his job that was outsourced, he goes there and starts to do, you know, within this country that, you know, he's surrounded by Indians who are doing former jobs that were held by Americans.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great episode.
What else?
We dive into the abortion issue this season, where a pro-choice woman who works in an abortion clinic actually moves into a pro-life birthing center.
Uh-oh.
Where it's run by a priest and his wife, where they, you know, take women in and they have the children. It's a really powerful show.
I bet.
We do an issue about Christianity in America, where an atheist moves to Texas and lives with a Christian family for 30 days.
Uh-huh.
And another one of my favorites of the season is we dive into New Age medicine. You know, everybody's, you know, going to yoga now and getting, you know, Reiki therapies and all these things. So we have this big linebacker of a guy, you know, this big lug of a man who for 30 days, you know, gets a life coach and starts, you know, diving into he has a feng shui master come and redo his apartment.
Now, I'm guessing on that episode we see a little reversal there, because one of my favorite things in the first season was when you took the guy who was homophobic and had him live in San Francisco right in the middle of the gayest part of San Francisco. And one night they take him to a gay bar, and there are some people dancing on the bar, some men dancing on the bar, taking their shirts off, and he gets up and joins them and takes his shirt off.
Exactly. So in this episode, you do see, you know, you start to see a transformation, you know, as he dives into this new age lifestyle.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And the stuff, as I said, that you do is awfully provocative. Are you doing another big screen movie anytime soon?
Yeah, well, we're finishing a film right now that I produced. I didn't direct the movie, but it's a film about the commercialization of Christmas that we're hoping to have out in theaters just in time for the holiday season.
Cool. Well, I'll have you back when that comes out, and we'll talk some more.
Would love that. Thank you so much, man.
And maybe then you'll be a dad? Has that happened yet?
Well, December, yeah. The first week of December is when the babies do. So, yeah, I have a feeling things are going to change a lot in about the next 4 months.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what you do with the first 30 days of that.
That's right.
Thanks, Morgan. Good luck with this season that starts tomorrow night.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Morgan Spurlock, the man behind 30 Days, the FX series, which debuts season number 2 tomorrow night. This is the Paul Harris Show here on News Talk 1120 KMOX.